This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Daljit Dhaliwal. Morgan Tsvangirai is confronting the harsh reality of office. The former opposition leader is now Zimbabwe's prime minister. Not only does he have the difficult job of sharing power with his rival, President Robert Mugabe, he also has to figure out how he's going to try to get the country back on track. Inflation, of course, as you know, John, is over 200%. Something like 90% of the population is looking for work, and that's just for starters. To get some insight on this, we're joined by the BBC's Jonah Fisher, and he's in South Africa. Jonah, he's made a lot of promises. How much power does he actually have to make the kind of bold reforms that he's going to have to embrace?
That's really the big question. In many ways, Morgan Tsvangirai has got the impossible job. He's been given responsibility for some of the biggest problems in Zimbabwe at the moment, the economy with the finance ministry, the health ministry with hospitals in a state of collapse. But the real question is, has he been given the power and the authority to actually make a difference? That's the big unknown. We don't know how Robert Mugabe, who's been president for so long in Zimbabwe, is going to really react to having another senior leader within his government in Morgan Tsvangirai, whether it'll actually allow him to have the scope to carry out the reforms which Zimbabwe so badly needs.
So why did Mugabe give him the job then?
Well, Robert Mugabe really needed Morgan Tsvangirai to join the government to give him legitimacy. Southern African leaders have been fairly clear that after the disputed elections of last year, there should be some form of power-sharing government, that the opposition movement for democratic change should be included in the government in order for it to have legitimacy within the region. So Robert Mugabe acknowledged that that was necessary. The question always was going to be who would have responsibility for what. Initially, after those disputed elections, it was thought that Mugabe would stay on purely in a ceremonial role as president, that Morgan Tsvangirai would effectively be running Zimbabwe. The way we look at it now, it looks increasingly likely that Robert Mugabe will still call all the key shots. And the question really is, what space, if any, will Morgan Tsvangirai have to operate?
I mean, you know, the country has so many challenges. What is the view on where the money is going to come from to pay for all of this? Or is that dependent on whether the international community sees the kind of reforms that it's looking for, especially in the United States with the new administration?
Well, one of the big promises which Morgan Tsvangirai said after he was sworn in as prime minister was that he was going to pay civil servants in Zimbabwe in foreign currency. The Zimbabwean dollar has completely lost all value, and you can hardly buy anything with it. And now with that promise to pay doctors, nurses, teachers in foreign currency, the big question is, where will that money come from without any real functioning economy? Will it come from Western donors? At the moment, the United States, the European Union are saying, we want to see proof that this power-sharing government actually is about sharing power, and that Morgan Tsvangirai actually will be in control of parts of the government. So they're adopting a wait-and-see policy, so it's very hard to see where in this initial few weeks and possibly months where Morgan Tsvangirai is going to get those funds from.
So what are the first kinds of things that they want to see? And also, what ministries are they contesting? What does Tsvangirai want control over that Mugabe isn't prepared to give him?
Well, finance will be a key issue. The finance minister is from the Movement for Democratic Change, but the head of the central bank in Zimbabwe is from Robert Mugabe's party, ZANU-PF. So those two key figures will have to sit together and work together to try and stabilise an economy which has been in free fall, and the currency, as I mentioned before, has completely lost all meaning.
All right, Jonah, thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.